On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Caitlin.
My name's Jamie.
And we're here to talk about, as we always are, the portrayal of women in movies.
It's fun. It's the theme of the podcast.
It's the theme of the podcast. You love it. We love it.
You love
it's
women. The best. You love movies.
And we're doing. You're welcome.
And you're welcome. We're feminist icons.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's. I'm going to say that at the top of every. Make it till you make it, baby.
Yeah, we were inspired by the Bechdel test, which requires that a movie has two characters. They're ladies. They have names. They talk to each other, and they're not talking about men. Mm-hmm. That's the Bechdel test.
It has its limitations. It's what we use as a yardstick.
Yeah.
For a larger discourse.
The Bechdel test is like a yard. Hence yardstick, and then the discussion of women in movies is a whole
stick?
Mile. No.
Oh.
It's just like, the Bechdel test is 1 yard of that mile. I'm getting really mathematical.
How many yards
here.
Is in a mile? I feel like that's, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can, because, well, there's five.
But why would you? That's metric and
no, yard
stupid.
Is not metric. A meter is metric. A yard is 3 feet.
Right. Yeah. It's totally fine. We should listen to a math podcast.
But there are about 1,600 meters in a mile. I know this because I
Amazing
ran track.
News. I ran track in eighth grade. I found a picture recently of me and my coach, who was within 2 years of the picture where he's like touching my arm, was arrested for perverted deeds.
Hey.
With the swim team. Not even his team.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
My
disloyal.
My high school soccer coach was arrested for stealing a deer. From another person's deer farm so that he could have it for his own deer farm.
Well, your channel is really weird.
Yeah. I grew up in a really stupid place.
Yeah. I saw that. What was the name of that street?
Oh, Dry Hollow Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a picture of a road called Dry Hollow Road, and I said, so nice of them to name this road after my vagina.
Great tweet.
Thank you.
Very good tweet.
A great tweet.
Thanks well, now that we've debriefed on our tweets.
Yes. Let's get into the podcast stuff.
Sure.
We have a guest.
I'm so excited. She's my best friend in the whole world. She's a comedian. She's a writer. She's been at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. She lives in New York City, where we're recording right now, we should say, because this is one of two, and this is the first one that's going to come out.
Yes.
We're recording with Leif, and we're having the best time. I'm like, it's Julia Clare. She's here.
Julia!
Hello!
Hi. So excited to be here.
Freaking out.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
I've been seeing you since, like, what, like, April?
It feels like longer. I can't believe we're in this. This always happens anytime we're actually in the same room because we have a long distance romance. Jamie and I.
We talk every single day.
We talk all day, every day, pretty much.
More, and I think at this point, more of our friendship has been long distance than not, which is wild.
Which is so weird because our friendship started when we were living not only on the same street in Cambridge, on the same block.
Yeah.
It's
which was
why, and we didn't know each other then before. So just like we became friends.
Oh. I passed her old apartment last night. A good place. You
really
came to my
place.
Apartment and brought me Gatorade that time. My face got all puffy.
I sure did.
Big.
Your face was so big.
It was. My face was really big.
Big face, Jamie.
And Julia came from a softball game.
Yes.
And brought
me
Gatorade.
Oh my gosh. That's true. Boston Comedy Softball.
Perfect.
Oh, I was on that league.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Did we play at the same time?
No, you were.
I was an OG, baby.
Really?
I wasn't, no.
I was like, you're a founding member?
No, not at all.
Caitlin, it's really, you actually left Boston like 3 weeks after I started doing comedy.
Right, yeah. We
but
didn't
I came
really
to your
overlap.
Going, I came to your like going away thing, I remember.
Oh, I didn't.
Thank you.
I didn't
Why
care.
Not?
I didn't care.
You
I'm kidding.
Bitch.
I'm kidding. I don't know what I was doing. Maybe
but
I
you're
did.
You're not a party gal, so you're like, oh, party.
I don't attend parties generally, but I've been trying.
You're getting better.
I'm doing a better job.
Yeah.
No.
But bringing it back to softball.
Yes.
And baseball. And the movie we're talking about today, mm-hmm. A League of Their Own.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
When did you first see this movie?
I first saw this movie probably when I was like 7. It's like 6 or 7.
That explains so much that you saw this movie that young.
It was, first of all, yeah, I saw it for the first time pretty young, and then I wanted to keep watching it. And so pretty much on every time I would get invited to a sleepover, I would demand that this movie be played.
That is peak Julia Clare.
But I actually hadn't seen it for over 10 years until I watched it today. So,
oh, well, you're welcome that we gave you an opportunity to rewatch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very influential in my, and also I realized there was so much that I didn't understand when I was first watching it when I was little. Like, there's so much in it that's just above board for children. <There's>,
yeah. But it's a family-friendly movie.
It is.
Uh-huh. It's one of those movies that's on TV
all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
It's always on.
Yeah.
Just like me with my comedy.
I love it. And there goes another one. There's another.
Those hot riffs.
A bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dropped a. No, that I meant that in a good way. Well, I'm tired. When did you first see this movie?
I think college. I was a bit older.
Wow.
And then I think I only saw it that once. And then I rewatched it twice before coming here to record this episode.
Wow.
I saw it in, I want to say, late elementary school, middle school. And I was like, this is kind of boring. And then I saw it yesterday and I said, this is kind of boring.
Yeah, you're not a huge fan of this movie.
My problem with A League of Their Own is not that women are boring. It's that baseball is boring.
I can't argue with that.
Some women are boring.
Didn't
and that's
you watch,
their choice.
Like The Sandlot a lot? Or was that?
I didn't. I mean, it was on a lot, but I didn't. I don't like sport.
I loved that movie, too. I was a huge
fan. Sandlot, I mean, if the climax of the movie is a baseball game, it's not going to be my favorite movie.
Sure.
I want a League of Their Own. If we did a League of Their Own reboot with basketball, that would be tight.
I'm a soccer girl.
I want a basketball League of Their Own. That's my proposal.
I'm all about soccer. Movies rule. Give me a soccer movie.
You like soccer movies?
Well, I don't like soccer
Switching
movies
goals,
per se.
Mary Kay and
but,
Ashley.
Well, she's the man.
Bend It Like Beckham.
And I like Beckham.
But also, Bend It Like Beckham is.
Well, I don't like soccer movies. I like soccer as a sport, and I'm saying there should be better soccer movies.
I would take a soccer movie over a baseball movie. I would take a basketball movie over almost any movie.
Space Jam.
For women.
A little bit of Space Jam.
Why is Lola Bunny so hot? I mean, that's. Yes. And that's maybe for another time, but.
She is so hot.
Yeah, she's so sexualized. It's. So weird.
Everything about that character is just like, oh, she fucks like this. And now we know.
Lola Bunny fucks.
When she's not on the court, she's fucking in a very
That's just par for the course for bunnies. Bunnies are fucking all the time.
Oh, well, that's true.
With
but,
big
but,
tits
but they don't
stuff.
Do that to Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny, he's a little.
Yeah, they're not out there like over-sexualizing Bugs Bunny.
I think they're not sexualizing him enough.
You know what? You're right.
I think we need to turn it up to an 11 on Bugs Bunny. Mm-hmm.
He has some
Let's see, like, a dick bulge in his pants.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay.
Words I never thought I would hear associated with Bugs Bunny.
I'd like to introduce a horrifying image into the room. Bugs Bunny, I mean, obviously he's naked, right?
Yeah.
But you think of his fur as kind of close, so I was picturing a dick bulge coming from beneath his skin.
Oh my, that's actually
his own fur as pants.
That's exactly how I was picturing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he's not. That's it. Would Ugh. Just be out. It would just be out.
Right. I was thinking like he'd be wearing shorts.
It's so upsetting. It's such an upsetting.
Oh, basketball image. Shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
His dick could just be hanging out of his basketball.
Well,
shorts.
I have long said that. Men's basketball shorts across the board are too long. We need to go back to 70s basketball shorts for men.
Show us the butts.
I want to see those thighs.
Show us the butts. Men's thighs are great.
And they're an untapped resource.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
They're great. And it's like, sometimes, I don't know if it's like, I forget where I heard a similar discussion to this recently, but it's like, I don't know if it's just like, we just don't see men's thighs enough so that when we do, we're just like, oh my God, they're great.
They're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous. Yeah, but they're like better than women's thighs. That's coming from a feminist icon.
Yeah. This has been the male objectification portion of the podcast. You're welcome, everyone.
About Space Jam somehow. Oh, but all that to say, baseball is the most boring thing in the entire world. In spite of that, this is a great movie.
Yeah, I'm not a sports gal myself, but I do like this movie a lot. And I will take this opportunity to do a recap. A League of Their Own is set in, I want to say, 1943.
Correct.
It's the middle of WW2. We're in a world war. All the men have gone off to fight, including
Bill Pullman.
Yes. And apparently a bunch of Major League Baseball players. So this guy, Harvey of Harvey Bars, he's like, let's start up a women's league, but we're going to call it the Girls League, which we'll talk about. But John Lovitz, he's scouting for talented baseball players who are ladies.
You gotta love him. Little dirty mustache. Suit a little bit too big.
He's gonna give his wife a tickle pickle, he says.
I bet he does.
Oh, you know it.
I forgot that line. I mean, I probably just erased it like a trauma memory.
No. Yeah. I was like, oh, tickle pickle.
It's like, oh, how often do you give your wife a tickle pickle? Is your tickle pickle relationship healthy? Would you say? How much should you be tickling with your pickle?
But you guys know that this is like based, it's based on a true, based on real events, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Julia looked up a lot of trivia and I'm very excited. Like, do you know like a lot of historical trivia about it?
Well, not a lot, but just, you know, the basics of the movie.
So John Lovitz is scouting for different women. He goes and scouts Dottie and Kit, sisters who play baseball.
Gina Davis and Tank Girl.
They play in like a local league. And he's like, you guys are really good. Come and try out for this national women's girls league.
He says Gina Davis should.
And right.
God, I love Kit. Kit's like, hey, no fair.
Yeah. I'm your kid's sister, even though I'm a grown-ass woman.
I know. I was like, are you 30? Like, why are you so, like, she's like, I'm always left behind. I was like, you're 30.
An adult.
Anyways.
But yeah, he wants Gina Davis's character, and she's like, not without my sister Kit. So she convinces him to let Kit come along and try out, and they both make the team. They end up on
The Rockford
Peaches. Other team members, notable ones, are
Madge. Madonna.
Wait, Madonna's character's name is Madge?
May.
No, that's Madonna's nickname for all you Madonna heads out there.
Doris, Rosie O'Donnell. There's also Marla.
Marla Hooch.
Marla Hooch.
I know. I was like, all these like weird, horny cartoon character names.
Fun fact, Marla Hooch is the mother of Hooch from Turner and Hooch, another. I'm kidding, but.
I was like, is this a Pixar thing?
Who's the character who has a little boy?
Ooh,
I forget her name. But there's a mother on
and
the,
then there's
the
also
team.
A teammate named Betty, who they call Betty Spaghetti.
Betty Spaghetti,
yes,
yeah.
Which was a doll. Did anyone have a Betty Spaghetti doll?
I knew it was a doll. I did not have. She like stretched out, right?
Yeah,
she was
that
like
was
Stretch Armstrong for girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like she was like sexy Stretch Armstrong.
Why do they have to gender toys like that? It's so weird.
Because it was the 90s.
Yeah. But they still do it. Anyway, so there's a bunch of ladies on the team. And at first, no one's really into it. They're like, meh, why would we go watch women play baseball?
This is what I find relatable. It's like, do we want to watch baseball?
But actually,
I keep wondering.
That was like historically inaccurate because the real All-American Girls Professional Baseball League was immediately popular because most people still didn't have TVs in their houses and wanted some entertainment, so pretty much immediately had people in the seats.
Cool. Hey, I like that. That's great.
Yeah.
But the movie, to heighten the drama, the movie depicts it as though it wasn't popular at first.
Right.
So then different members of the team are like, let's find ways to make this popular. And so Gina Davis is doing splits and all kinds of stuff. And then more people come. Meanwhile, their manager, Tom Hanks, a.k.a.
Hamming
Jimmy Dugan.
Hamming it up. I want to punch him in his mouth.
Yeah. He's a drunk.
He needs to relax.
He's
like a straight up alcoholic because I feel like this is one of those movies where they try to just make him a drunk and it's like, no, he has a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
for sure. But it's okay because he has a character arc and we like him at the end.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, well, Tom Hanks wouldn't agree to be in the movie if they're like, and at the end, you're still not likable.
Yeah.
So they're dealing with him. They're dealing with all kinds of sexism and all manner of things. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to the point where the World Series is coming up and Dottie and Kit are having some sisterly struggles. And they're like, nah, we're not going to be on the same team anymore. And then they play a game against each other because mm-hmm. Kit gets moved to a different team.
Which is then... like, oh, poor Kit. Not fair.
Right. I know. Why can't they just get along? Mm-hmm. And then the Peaches end up losing. But it's okay because everyone's happy and they played baseball and they're women. Yay!
Well, and also there's a war. And Bill, that we think Bill Pullman might be dead for a second, but then turns out he just is limping a little bit and he's fine.
Right. He's fine.
Because Dottie is married to Bob.
Bill.
Is that Bill?
Yeah. She goes, Bob. When he comes in the room, she goes, Bob.
Bob is truly the least sexy name ever.
Yeah. I was like, for some reason, Bobby's okay with me.
Bobby is okay. Bobby Kennedy.
Oh.
That's pretty much it.
Bobby Kennedy's so hot.
Yeah, I have a lot of framed pictures in my room.
Bobby so hot. It's insane.
Jamie and I could do an entire podcast about the Kennedys.
The horny, horny Kennedys. Leif's newest little podcast.
Little podcast.
The horny, horny Kennedys. Yeah. Oh, God. He's unbelievable.
I didn't expect to get, like...
He's
so horny on this podcast.
He's so hot.
That'll happen.
It's insane.
That happens on the Bechdel cast quite often.
Oh, boy.
Okay, sorry.
So this has been part two of male objectification.
It's going to keep happening.
All right, let's get back on track. and then at the end, the Peaches lose, but it's fine because Dottie and Kit reconcile, and then they all get together at the end when they're old ladies, and they're at the Baseball Hall of Fame, and everyone's like, hey, remember way back when people liked watching women's sports for a few years, and then the men came back from the war, and no one cared about us anymore? Ah, what a cool time. The end.
How are your grandkids?
Yeah. Right. So that's the story. Of a League of Their Own.
Hot recap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very tight.
Tight.
We gotta keep things tight sometimes.
Yeah. Tight. Love it.
There's a lot to unpack with this movie.
Yeah. What do we wanna do? We wanna go by character?
I
mean, where to start?
One interesting thing about the movie and the story is that the female characters in the movie who are scouted to play baseball in the league also have to be beautiful.
Hot. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that there's some historical something to that. I couldn't find any
specific. So they didn't have to be beautiful per se, but they all did actually get like makeovers and have to go to an etiquette school. That part
is
real. That part is real. And the uniforms are not too far off.
So it was like the short skirts dressing.
But also... One of the things that I did not remember from this movie at all was the very opening scene where it's like the old Gina Davis or whatever.
Yeah.
They, for whatever reason, and it makes it, it's so psychotic. They dub actual Gina Davis's voice with the old woman who's playing her. And it looks and sounds so crazy.
I thought that was Gina Davis in old lady makeup.
No.
Really? They're old actors.
It's an old actress, and then they had Gina Davis like read her lines. Gina Davis, who, by the way, has never looked better, except
so
maybe
hot.
In Beetlejuice. She is so hot in both of them, and she's also a fellow tall woman.
Mm-hmm. How tall is she? She's like
6'1"
or something?
Yeah, she's 6 feet. And she's also, apparently, she's like a...
Mensa member.
She's a Mensa member, and mm-hmm. she's like an Olympic archer.
Stop it.
Yeah. I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
She also founded the Gina Davis
Gender
Institute
Studies.
For, yeah.
Gender Studies Institute.
She's an icon. She's a feminist. She's like, and I'm not even joking.
Yeah, no, she is a feminist.
Usually
icon.
I'm joking.
I love her. So according to interviews with Penny Marshall, who directed the movie,
And Gary's in the movie, too.
Gary's in the movie, too, because they couldn't afford anybody.
Gary, come to work with me.
Their brother and sister?
Yeah,
right?
They couldn't afford another actor, so she just had Gary do it for free. And
great get for Gary.
But all of the actresses who were in the movie had to actually be able to play baseball. Mm-hmm. So they had open tryouts for all the actresses, and they had some like big name actresses who came to the tryouts who like didn't make it because they couldn't play baseball. Marissa Tomei sent in a tape of her auditioning, like playing baseball on the set of My Cousin Vinny, being coached by Joe Pesci.
Where is that tape?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I want it in my possession right now. But she didn't make it because Penny was like, it was clear she wasn't a ball player.
Chill out, Penny.
Yeah. But all the actresses did almost all their own baseball stunts, and all of, like, the bruises and shit is all real.
All real. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That like, huge, like, thigh. Yeah. Like, yeah, that was a real one.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's nuts. Back on the characters, like, there was a huge emphasis on them being attractive to be able to play in the league, mm-hmm. which, of course, is, like, an insane double standard, because, like, the men who play baseball don't, you're not, like, yeah. you have to be hot and fuckable.
You don't even need to be athletic to be able to play baseball.
But because they were women, and they're like, well, who's going to want to watch women play baseball unless they're also attractive? So that was a choice for the movie that, you know, whether or not it was, like, super historically accurate, totally believe, like, something,
totally believable.
It's a standard that's placed on women all the time, where it's like, well, who's going to want to listen to you talk or see you do anything unless you're also very hot?
Right.
And there's a scene where early on, Marla, who is not traditionally beautiful, but she's a great baseball player, she's trying out, and John Lovitz is like, oh no, like, because she like takes off
use
her hat.
My tickle, I mean, pickle. Right. She's not on the team,
right? And then her dad is all like, well, I know my daughter isn't as pretty as these other girls, but I raised her like a boy because it was just me raising her, and I'm sorry I did a bad job, which is like,
that's even
so
not
crazy, so hilarious, because it's as if like every single mother would have raised her son like a girl just because she didn't know any difference. Right. She just doesn't know the difference.
Yeah.
But then the whole scene boils down to him being like, I'm so sorry my daughter looks like shit.
Yeah. Like, what he should have said is like, what my daughter looks like has fuck all to do with how well she can play baseball, which is very well.
Yeah.
And fuck you for even suggesting that she shouldn't be on the team because she's not hot enough. That's what her dad should have said.
Yeah.
He should say he should have leaned in too far and been like, my daughter's so hot.
No idea.
Described her body.
Anyway, so this is sort of a recurring theme throughout the movie. Like, the women have to be beautiful. Like, the newsreel thing, like the little black and white, like, commercial almost. It's talking about each of the members of the team, but it's always like, legging out of triples, no reason to let your nose get shiny. It's like, they're all talking about the women, not really how they play baseball, but it's
product,
like,
placement.
That, or, like, just, like, noting their, like, domestic abilities.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how, like, Betty Spaghetti, she's like, she's yeah. making spaghetti all, and she loves to knit. Ellen Sue's a former Miss Georgia. Yow! Like, so it's either commenting yeah. on, like,
no credits.
How they're good. Yeah.
Sound effect.
Either what? How good looking they are or how good they are at, like, domestic crap.
It's crazy because they set the bar so low to say something about you, but there's still a moment where they're like, yeah.
Well, don't they just go to Marla Hooge and, like, not say anything
about
her?
She's like, they're like, what a hitter. And she's, like, in the background. You can barely see her.
Yeah, you can't see her at all.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, that, like, radio broadcast where the old lady is like, careers in higher education are leading to the masculinization of women with enormously dangerous consequences to the home, our children, and our country. And she's like, the worst case of this is women playing baseball and blah, blah, blah. So,
some great exposition. Some yeah. really amazing exposition.
That just, to me, serves as a reminder that not all women are feminist icons.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the most empowering things in the entire world. You're like, some women are fucking monsters.
Yeah.
Realizing that and not being like, yes, queen.
No, I literally, I tweeted about this the other day. There's some people who act like women support all, like, female public figures, like, we're all just like Phyllis Schlafly, yes queen,
right? It's just like, in what world? Like,
yeah,
I'm not scissoring with Betsy DeVos, you know, like, intellectually.
Right. Yeah, some women are really shitty.
Here first.
Right. That's the main point that we try to make on this podcast. Yeah, not all women are feminists.
Kellyanne Conway, slay.
Slay, bitch.
So, yeah, women are just as guilty as men sometimes at reinforcing these dangerous gender roles and gender norms.
Ivanka, slay. Thank you.
Yeah. The team names of the lady players.
Oh, yeah. Literally Peaches.
Yeah, Peaches. Like, the Bells.
Calls up an image. Yeah.
All of those were real.
Really?
The real team names, yeah.
Wow.
There was also the Blue Sox and the Comets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which are, you know, those less specifically gender. Yeah. But, you know, there's not like men's baseball teams called the Pickles.
But that would be fun. But, yeah. I would not be opposed to that.
The Tickle Pickles.
You know them, you love them. Welcome the Tickle Pickles to the field.
I love all the cartoony World War II names in this movie.
I do too.
They're so funny.
Yeah. Also, I really think that Madonna was at her personal best in this movie.
Yeah.
I think it's her all-time best acting performance.
Right.
She has an amazing dance scene that she does all herself.
Yeah. Yeah. She and Rosie have such a fun rapport.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's the role she was born to play, I think.
I agree.
And she's apparently a talented baseball player.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Except for everyone who's seen this movie.
I think we should be saying a lot of like very common feminist things more. Just to like, you know, build our audience.
Yeah.
Just a yes break.
Yeah.
Like, ah.
Just all vowels.
Exactly. Yeah, just like a moment for like empowering vowels for women.
Yeah, of course. More on Madonna's character. So she's like the team floozy.
Slut.
Yeah, like she gets slut shamed.
Oh,
quite a
major.
Bit.
Yeah.
Because her nickname is All the Way May, which is like a double entendre.
But also a great nickname.
Yeah, that is a great nickname,
especially if she's funny.
And then there's the part where she's like. They're, like, trying to draw more of a crowd. And she's like, well, what if, like, during a game my uniform pops open and my bosoms fall out? And then Rosie O'Donnell's character is like, do you think there's a man in this country who hasn't seen your bosoms? And it's like,
tea. But she's never, like, I don't know. She's it's all in good fun.
Yeah, it's playful. It's not like, oh, you stupid idiot for being a slut.
You stupid bitch.
Yeah.
She presented it as a joke. It was received as a joke.
She teaches the girl who can't read to read. Using,
exactly.
using
like
erotic novels.
Mm-hmm. And put that horniness to work.
She's like, oh, it gets really good after this. It's a funny joke. I love it.
It's a fun movie. It's fun.
But baseball sucks.
This is where you and I.
Well, because you guys have both played softball. I don't know. I was a ballet gal.
I know, but now you now you can dance like in a pinch. You can dance,
if it's an emergency,
right?
If someone's in trouble, I can dance.
To get out of an escape room, you can dance.
That's why people bring me.
I envy that because I have nothing from softball really besides
you were playing as recently as
There are no like residual skills.
I disagree.
That you can get from softball.
If an intruder comes into your house, you can take a bat and beat the shit out of them.
Sure, but it takes a lot less skill than years of softball.
That'll be for like, thank God I was playing softball all those years or I would be dead right now. Speaking of escape rooms, there's a thing to be said for men in escape rooms of just like, I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. I need to take control of the situation. Men in escape rooms, very much the same.
Yeah.
Ugh. God. Escape rooms are, you can't go with a man. You cannot.
Yeah.
They need to be like,
I keep trying to go to an escape room with a man and it just doesn't work.
You can't. They're like, look behind the frame. There's a safe over here. Escape rooms are, first of all, terrible.
Yes.
But it is fun to... I just want to put like a bunch of aggressive men in an escape room and just them...
Try to alpha each other.
They're like the seagulls from Finding Nemo. And they would not get out. They would die.
Oh, there's a scene where like it reveals their uniform. We touched on this where it's like the short dresses that are not at all practical for playing any sport. Mm-hmm. And the women like push back. You see like a lot of things are challenged. Also, a lot of things go unchallenged. But one of the things that they do challenge is the uniform. just like right at first whenever they see it, and they're like, we can't, what are you supposed to slide in this? Like, that's a dress. That's half a dress. What are we, baseball players or ballerinas? So they're challenging it, but they still end up wearing them. So it's like, they do.
Well, but
they
I think that's just like far. A historical thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, just.
I thought it was good that they challenged it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess we don't really know what happened, but hopefully that yeah. would have happened, because there could not be a less practical thing to wear.
This is another example of a double standard where the men were like, oh, here's a practical thing to play in.
Sliding in that, like, truly must have been such a bitch. Because, like, even sliding when you, like, cause when I played softball for a long time, as I said, and you'd wear, like, sliding shorts, which
These,
like, padded shorts underneath your uniform shorts.
I'm learning.
Because sliding hurts so much. And even with those, you would get cut up a little bit. So I can only imagine these women must have just been, like, bleeding all the time.
Jesus. Let's talk about some individual characters.
Sure.
Well, Dottie.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think of Dottie?
I like Dottie. I mean, we see, like, right away how great of a player she is. She advocates for her sister, so she's lifting other women up.
But
who
then
knows
she,
if
there,
she would have done
also
it.
Dragging her back down.
A bit, yeah. But
Team Kit.
To me, I attributed that more to, like, a sibling rivalry than, like, a... I'm competing with you because you're another woman kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. Like, it could be maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's the rock of the story. Like, everything. Well, first of all, she's based on the real Dottie Collins, who was a player for the Rockford Peaches, who played in the league for 6 years and pitched, like, 17 shutouts. Like,
oh, she was a pitcher, not a catcher?
Yeah, she was a pitcher. Yeah, so she was this, like, incredible player. But yeah, Dottie the character, actually, I don't know if this is, like, crossing movies too much, but, like, reminds me of Julia Stiles' character in Mona Lisa Smile, because she has a lot of aptitude and she has a lot of potential to do other stuff. Like, clearly Dottie is, like, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
She does math in her head, which...
Not like the other girls.
Not like the other girls. She's a great baseball player. She could do more with her life, and, like, other people tell her that she could do more, and she's like, actually, I choose to go back to my family.
Right.
Which is what Julia Stiles' character does.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
The sweaters are incredible in that movie.
It is a big sweater
it's
movie.
It's a great sweater
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah. Sweater porn.
I've never seen it.
It's a fun... Well,
watch it for the sweaters, Caitlin.
Okay. Yeah. You could watch it on mute, like, honestly.
I do.
Just a lot of... Yeah, like,
I do.
Like...
I do watch it on mute.
Dottie, I mean, she's... Great, obviously. I don't dislike her. But there's...
She's not the best. She's not the most interesting character.
Right. No. Like, she's not really flawed in any interesting
she's
way.
She's, like, the control group of...
Yeah.
The characters, I think.
Which might even be... And I genuinely avoid sports movies. That might even be a sports movie trope of, like, the leader is, like, the... But I would have been interested to see a more flawed character, or so, you know, like, she doesn't really fuck up ever, except, like, she fights with her sister sometimes. But I think that's why I gravitate towards Kit, because she fucks up constantly, but
Kit
also
is like
very dynamic and, like, is always, I don't know,
well, that
feels like more of a character.
Dynamic is like, there's a game where Kit's, like, not pitching very well. Gina Davis is like, yeah, we should take her out of the game. Although at first she's like, no, she's doing fine. And then Jimmy Dugan's like, not really? Is that what you think?
Tommy goes, he, like, swallowed a bucket of phlegm before delivering each line. It's too much. Dial it back.
Yeah, so then Dottie's like, you know what? Actually, she's pitching grapefruits or something like that. And Kit gets mad.
40s
so
talk.
I feel like their argument, their conflict is Kit sort of just being immature and, like, not willing to acknowledge that, like, maybe she shouldn't keep playing when she's, like, having an off game kind of thing.
That's, like, her whole thing.
But she's wrong. Right. Like, yeah. The thing. It's like she's – Gina Davis is right in that argument.
Yeah.
She's never wrong. Uh-huh. And I think that's, like, kind of what – like, I almost felt like Kit a little – I'm like, we get it.
Right.
You're so smart.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the character to me with the most notable character arc is Jimmy Dugan. Like, everyone else is just sort of like, yeah, we have a little thing, and then we're, but, like, everyone pretty much stays the same and is generally pretty static. But then
he kind of does do a 180. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also, I just think it's so weird how there's like a sexual tension between Dottie and Jimmy Dugan.
Yeah, that does not check out for me. Yeah. But I mean, nor does Gina Davis and Bill Pullman with a limp, but like Bob. And he's like, oh, and then I wrote this down. He's like, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I was like, he objectified Gina Davis. How could you? Oh, how could you?
Bill
and
Pullman.
She says, Bob. She doesn't care. She's Bob's thing.
Oh, to be
Bob's thing.
I mean, the point I'm trying to make is it's, you know, not the best thing ever that the character with the most notable character arc is
the man.
A man.
Right. I mean, playing devil's advocate, I could see the argument that it's not the women in the movie who have to change. They're trying to exist in a space as themselves, and that's their real challenge, where it's like the attitudes of the men in the league that need to change from moment one.
Mm-hmm. It's like the only person in this movie who actually is so flawed that he needs to change is Jimmy Dugan.
Right.
So like none of the, basically I think that it's saying like that like all the women are fine and Jimmy Dugan's a fucking mess.
which is true. Pretty much true.
It's like, true. But there still could have been like more dedication to like Dottie's character. She could have still had an arc in some way. It doesn't mean she needed to start out shitty and end up being like, oh, I'm a better person now. Like it still could have been.
I totally agree. I mean there's like little stuff, like there's a girl that learned how to read. There's like all the, you know, there's like little stuff. But the arc of the female character I liked was Kit, because she, I don't know, like that in that end scene with Dottie and Kit. Kit basically realizes that she wasn't like battling her sister. She was battling being insecure.
Yeah.
And then I'm like almost crying. It's a beautiful scene. And then she's just like, oh, you should stay. And Gina Davis is like, no, I have to go get pregnant from Bill Pullman, which is like, what a crazy plan for your night. But you see like the sister relationship at the end where that was the one moment where I was like, yeah, Dottie's cool, because more I'm like, ah, Dottie's boring. But when she's like happy for Kit when Kit wins, because Kit, and then she says, you wanted it more, which she did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because like Dottie was never, she didn't have her heart into,
which is another
much.
Weird thing about this movie. The protagonist is not into baseball, really.
Yeah.
and like,
she's like, okay, this is what I think.
Okay,
again, I'm gonna draw the parallel to Julia Stiles' character in Mona Lisa Smile. I think she is really into it, but it's like the culture of the times dictated her life so much. Like, mm-hmm. because she was clearly into it enough that she played enough that she was great at it.
Mm-hmm.
And she played in a farm league and learned the game inside and out, but felt her sense of duty to, like, whatever the cultural bullshit was at the time was just, like, overpowered that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, in that same scene where Gina Davis is like, I gotta go have babies. And Tank Girl was like, you could have babies next year. And she's like, no, I gotta have babies today. Sorry. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happens.
Bill Pullman is waiting.
Yeah. Bill Pullman's got a hard on in the other room. He's got a limp. I've gotta be accommodated.
He's got a limp. The clock is ticking.
My Bob.
Another interesting thing that happens in the movie is, I think it's during the first game, Dottie hits a home run. The announcer attributes the great thing that she did to Jimmy Dugan being like, oh, he knew what to tell, he told her the right thing to do, and like,
right,
so credit going to the wrong person, which happens a lot, and it's an example of just the assumption that if a woman does something good, it's because a man taught her how to do it or is somehow behind it.
Right.
And it's dumb. Let's not do that anymore, society.
Tom Hanks in this movie is just, I mean, again, just a bit much. And then I wrote this down, his line at the end where he basically delivers the moral of the movie, where I was just like, oh, come on. Like when he's trying to convince Dottie to stay, he's like, baseball's what lights you up. It's what's inside you. And then she says, it just got too hard, which I think is the better this movie in a nutshell. But then he says, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The heart is what makes it great. And it's just like,
shut up. Like, I just... Tom Hanks getting to be the moral compass of this movie is, of course, because he would not agree to do a movie in which he was not the moral compass. I think he might be a sociopath. But like... I'm like,
he also has, he delivers the most famous line of the movie, which is right. one of the most famous lines in modern cinema.
You don't cry in a baseball. I want to talk about that. And then he says that. It five times. You don't cry in a baseball. Like, he just keep, shut up.
So the implication there with that line is that there's no crying in baseball because women crying is a girl thing and baseball is a boy thing. The two can't intersect. The thing is, whenever men and boys are taught to not be, you can't be vulnerable, you can't be emotional, because you're a pussy if you are. The patriarchy is damaging to women and men. Well, so men, it's okay to cry. Cry your little heart out. There is crying in baseball.
Yeah.
In fact, the only time I consistently see men cry is during sporting
over
events.
Sports. Yes.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of fucking crying in baseball.
And,
so,
and not
have
a
you
ton
seen
of it is with women.
The Little League World Series, anyone?
No, wait. Oh, are there a lot of crying daddies there?
Well, no, there's the kids are a fucking mess.
Oh, I mean, well, that's the best.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It's I
get used to it, bitch. Life's hard.
Oh, really another fun thing that Jimmy Dugan says, I haven't got ball players, I've got girls. Girls I want to sleep with after the game, not coach during the game.
Hilarious.
Good job.
Or
Jimmy
when he does
Dugan.
That, he does a bunch of, and I know it's supposed to be like, he sucks now, but wait until the end when he says, you know, at the beginning he's like, broads suck. And then at the end he's like, broads are good. And that's his.
He's like, you are a ball player. Finally
and I drink less now.
And that's what we call a character arc.
You can boil down Tom Hanks to that. But then he has that prayer scene too where he's like, Jesus, remember that waitress I fucked or like whatever. And he's like, you know, because she was screaming your name, which is Tom Hanks being like declaring he has that good D, which is like,
he's got a great pickle to tickle women with.
No way. Tom Hanks for sure has a flesh lump where no way. He's fully dickless.
Oh no.
There's Ken doll
smooth.
I don't
want to think
he
about
is,
it.
Yeah, he's a smooth boy. And not to hate on it, I love a smooth boy. I love a guy with no dick.
Oh, man. Oh, Jimmy Dugan surprise kisses a woman whenever he's on the bus.
Does he?
He's on the bus and he's
out. Oh, she's
drunk.
She's the one. She's like the guardian.
Like the chaperone.
The chaperone who's been appointed
yeah.
to like
okay.
look after
and he's
the
like
girls.
Waking her up because the bus driver just quit.
Does
and then
every movie need a surprise kiss?
Every single movie has a surprise
is
that
a
kiss.
Rule?
Ugh, it's so annoying. But he is like waking up from a drunken stupor and he just grabs her and kisses her and she's like, ah. And then when he realizes what he does, because again, she's another, you know, not classically beautiful woman by Western standards. And he's like, oh, fuck. Oh, my God. So gross. And he like chugs some whiskey and then spits it all over the bus floor. And then he slaps her ass later in the movie. But,
to show that he's changed as a character.
Yeah, he's like, now I would touch you.
He's grown.
Before I sexually
I'm
assaulted you on accident,
you.
But now I'm sexually assaulting you on purpose.
I think you're hot.
Brave,
so,
brave.
I
yes,
mean,
queen. Brave, brave. Brave.
We've already talked at length about how it's not okay to surprise kiss a person. I just wanted to make note that that does
Looking
happen
at you,
in this
Brandon
movie.
Brandon Fraser. Jeez Louise. Yeah. Well, okay.
Fraser in which movie?
The Mummy. Kisses Rachel Weisz. He's like a caged animal and lunges at her. It's startling.
Brandon Fraser looks so crazy now.
We were just talking about how we think he might be covered in scabs.
Oh, God.
We don't know. What was I going to say? Alfred Molina. Is
who should he play?
Movie. Well, I thought about it, and he couldn't play Tom Hanks's part. He's too good of an actor. I would say swap out Molina and Lovitz, if anything, but I want
to
keep
I would
keep
give
Lovitz.
It to Lowenstein. He's the one who, at first, he's like, you guys don't want to play in these dresses? Well, you can fuck right off. And then later, he's like, man, people love these girls playing baseball. I'm going to take over the league.
Yeah. He's a master of his craft. He could sell that. Or, if we're going full beefcake, swap out Pullman and Molina. And then we have
I love
a very
that.
Different Bob.
I love that.
I want to see Gina Davis make out with Alfred Molina.
Yes.
I think that that's like
That's a better match than
That's such Gina a better Davis match and... than Gina Davis, Bill Pullman.
Ugh. A loveless marriage. At the end where she's like, I don't need baseball. I have Bob. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, I can't wait to quit comedy and just be like, I have Bob. I met someone named Bob and I don't need to do this thing anymore.
I have him now.
I'm actively looking for a reason to stop.
Alfred Molina is a national treasure.
Hot.
And the first Broadway show I ever saw was Fiddler on the Roof.
Shut
with
up.
Alfred Molina as Tevye.
Tevye.
Incredible.
Wow. I had no idea.
Incredible. Just,
He must have been the... I mean, I've seen
He's the perfect Tevye.
He's the perfect Tevye.
He's the perfect Tevye.
I don't know who I think I'm kidding. Of course I've seen those videos. He's such a talent. Like, he can do anything.
He can do anything.
He can do anything.
One last thing I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt your Alfred Molina discussion. There's a short scene sandwiched in the middle of a montage later in the movie where a ball lands and it's near a black woman's foot and she picks it up and Dottie's like, throw it here. And she's nearby and she's like, I'm going to actually throw it even farther because I'm good at baseball too.
Mm-hmm. That's based on a real person, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure. And they're like, wow, she was good at throwing. The woman just sort of like gives them a little like nod.
I mean, the implication is that she isn't allowed to play.
She's not allowed to play. Right. I looked up the color line on Wikipedia.
Wasn't that 49?
The color line in American baseball.
Oh, so it's a few years.
Excluded players.
The men's leagues
were
not integrated until 1949.
Excluded players of black African descent from Major League Baseball and its affiliated minor leagues until 1947.
Oh, 47.
So yeah, the implication is that she wouldn't have been allowed to play. The movie only spends like 20 seconds or less addressing like, oh, black people couldn't play baseball yet. Because it's a very white movie, understandably so because of the era. But I was like, it would have been nice for the movie to maybe address it a little more. Like if there was like a black player like maybe trying to try out. And they're like, no, we're a bunch of shitty racists, so you can't or something. I don't know. It felt weird that like if you blank, you would miss that scene.
Yeah.
So I just wish it would have been addressed a little more thoroughly.
I like the way that they, I think it, you know, absolutely too short. The scene is definitely short, but I think that if they had really over-explained it, it would have come off as almost like, I think it's just like giving the audience enough credit to be like, oh, it's obvious that she's not allowed to play. And then her coming into the scene makes you realize, oh, everyone on these teams is white.
Right.
Right. I mean, which... I guess, you know, you might not have noticed already.
Yeah.
There's a famous black female pitcher that I read about named Mamie Johnson, who I think that character is supposed to be some sort of nod to. Or she was like a famous pitcher who ended up pitching in men's leagues.
Mm. Oh, wow.
For several years in the 1950s.
So very interesting.
Another bit of trivia, the woman who played Kit, Lori Patty, mm-hmm. was, when she was growing up, she was the only girl on a boys' baseball team.
Okay, oh, so cool. she didn't need to, she already had those skills.
No, and Tank girl. During filming, she pitched more than most Major League Baseball pitchers do in an entire season.
Whoa. That's amazing. Yeah. Tank girl.
Why do you keep calling, what is that a reference
I don't know the reference
she,
either.
She plays Tank Girl.
What is Tank Girl?
It's like a really weird superhero movie.
Oh.
It was like a notorious flop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've seen
I feel like you've probably seen pictures.
She, the character of Kit is, for most of the movie, before her arc, she is just like a, almost like a Charlie Brown Peanuts character.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, humph.
It's so, I'm like, she's... a grown up.
She's a grown woman.
But even when she's like milking a cow, she's like, why can't I play?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you? She like acts like a little boy, but I love it.
Yeah.
She's like a little rascal. The final thing I wanted to say was because this movie takes place in the 40s, but it came out in summer. It came out in July 92, just shy of yours truly's premiere onto this earth. I mean, it was a very successful movie. It did very well. And I just was thinking about, like, what the climate was when this movie came out and, like, how that would inform how it did. But this is, like, when Hillary Clinton's, like, heavily on the campaign trail. Like, the summer this movie comes out.
Hmm.
She's, like, sort of, whatever, making her debut of sorts.
92?
In terms of, well,
and Bill's in office?
She's on the... Bill.
Oh, the campaign trail with Bill. Bill.
With Bill. Because this came out before the election.
Yeah, she was... So. She was definitely the most vocal first lady, and she was, until that point, she had the most, like, policy say, probably, of any first lady.
For sure. For sure. It was just so, I don't know. I was like, what was it like for women in 1992? Not great.
Yeah.
Guess what?
She got a lot of shit for saying, when a reporter asked why she was, like, focusing so much on policy, where she was like, I'm not just going to stay home and bake cookies. And she got so much shit about that.
As recently as this year.
Today.
Yep.
On Twitter right now.
Any other final thoughts that anyone has about the movie? Of course, this movie passes the Bechdel test like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Rosie O'Donnell at all, and I know that we can't really now, but I just want to say my parting thought about this movie is that the story of every movie ever is that Tom Hanks gained 30 pounds for this movie and was encouraged to eat as much as possible, and it said Rosie O'Donnell was told to eat as little as possible.
No!
Which is the story of every movie ever.
Yeah. Damn it.
God damn it. Of course.
Female director, Penny Marshall.
Yep.
Written by, so it, the story credit.
It's written by
story
someone named, by, like, Babalu or something.
Right. Well, Kim Wilson and Kelly.
Kelly is a man, by the way. I thought Kelly was a woman.
Oh, shit. Kelly's a man. I just assumed. How gender normative of me to assume that Kelly is a woman. Well, we have at least one.
Kelly's a man
woman.
And his mother. Played in the league.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, most of the writing credits are, it's Lowell Gantz, Babalu Mandel, and then there's a Kim. I'm guessing Kim is a woman, but maybe.
I think Kim is a woman.
Okay. I'm saying the screenplay was written by Lowell Gantz and Babalu Mandel.
Right. But then there's like a story by credit from Kelly and Kim.
I almost panicked because I thought I had somehow made up Babalu.
No, you were right.
No, it was on point. I was about to be like, where could that have possibly come from? Shout out to Babalu. Still alive.
But yeah, the movie passes the Bechdel test a bunch of times.
Sure
pretty
does.
Much, I'd say in most scenes, there are only a handful of scenes where like two dudes are talking and there aren't any women.
And
present.
Those are the worst scenes.
Yeah,
those are
boring.
And usually they're talking about how women suck.
Yeah. But yeah, a ton of scenes pass the Bechdel test. So yay. No surprise there.
Yeah.
Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Nipple scale.
0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. I'm going to give it, I think, like a 4 or 4.5. It's going to rate pretty highly for me. It's annoying that the main character arc goes to a man. I didn't even mention that, like, John Lovitz is like, we'll pay you $75 a week, whereas the top paid men baseball players of that era were earning up to, like, $50,000 a year or more, which is, hey, guess what? More than $75 a week. I did that math in my head.
Wow, not like the other girls.
Not like the other girls.
Yes. So yeah, just yes, Slay, do the math.
So, you know, sheds light on a bunch of different double standards that women face. So, it's just a cool movie. It's cool to see a sports movie about women. You almost never do.
Yeah, it's never cool to see a sports movie.
But,
yeah, fuck you, Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Well, we're taking the Ducks to task. Today on the Bechdel cast.
I'll never be able to run for office because I said, fuck the Mighty Ducks.
We're sticking it to the Ducks. Oh, yes,
yeah.
Queen.
Okay. Cool to watch a bunch of kick-ass ladies who are good at playing baseball be good at baseball. And
yeah.
It's a fun movie. So yeah, I'm going to go with a 4. I'm going to give John Lovitz 2 nipples, and they do look like small kosher dill pickles. And
those were the tickle pickles.
Yeah. He's just like rubbing his chest on his wife. and the other two I'll give to Marla.
I'll give it a 4 as well. Agree with what you're saying. I wish that we saw more flaws in our, like, it really did bug me seeing, like, Dottie. I mean, you could have very easily given her one of Tom Hanks's problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't be out of the question for a woman to have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Speaking as one who's actively developing one. Like, she was up against a lot, but didn't have any Achilles heel, and that was annoying. And Tom Hanks is annoying and baseball's boring. 4 nipples. I'll give 2 of the nipples to... Oh, no, I'm going to give all 4 nipples to the cow.
Oh, yeah. See
cow at the beginning.
Cow, literal cow's
kitten.
Utter nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are exposed nips in this. Yeah.
Well, because this movie was integral to my childhood and my development into the nightmare that I am today. I will give this 5 nipples.
Whoa, we got 5 nipples score!
It's been a couple months.
It has.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to be objective about this movie because it is my childhood. And I think it was really nice to see, because I think so often in movies that are written and directed by men where there are female characters, the female characters are so flawed. I didn't really care that Dottie didn't have, like, Dottie was, like, perfect or whatever. I really didn't care. And also, there was such a great variety of different personalities among the characters.
You get a slutty one.
Yeah.
You get a...
Like a brassy Long Island one. Yeah. Dolores. Rosie was great. I really liked it. I love baseball. I don't care. Who knows?
Now you're never going to get elected into office.
You're right.
America's full of baseball hating heathens.
I really liked it, and I will give all the nipples to Madonna's kick-ass dance scene in the middle of the movie.
Julia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a dream. I love the pod.
Yay, thank you so much. Yay. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter too much at Julia Tweets. I'm on Twitter a lot, tweeting about America.
Julia's Twitter feed is an adventure.
Yeah.
It's an adventure in exploring,
you know what?
A dystopia.
Some would say it used to be good.
The reviews are in. Well, great. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BechdelCast. You can check us out on Facebook. You can go to our website, BechdelCast.com.
We keep forgetting to say you can give us money. We need your money. We're dying.
And yeah, hey, there's no crying in baseball, except there's all the crying in baseball and in everything.
Yay.
Yay.
Cry.
Yes, queen.
Right. Bye.
Bye.